do not understand white supremacy, what it is, and how it works, everything else that you do understand will confuse you. In all of these nine areas of activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war, anywhere on the planet, minute by minute, day by day, all of the time, all of the time, all of the time.
Well, good morning and welcome to the May the 30th, 2023 edition of the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby, and we are so grateful and thankful that you have decided to spend your time with us this morning. Now, if you would like to be a participant in today's programming, you can call this number, which is 516-453-9921. And if you have a question or comment, just press the number 1 button and you will get in line and you will be heard. Be sure to give the call screener your name so that I can properly give you an introduction. If you're a first-time caller, make sure that you tell the call screener that also, so that I can give you your proper introduction and you don't have to be afraid to ask your questions. We just ask that you be brief in your question. You can also Gmail me, if you would like, at this Gmail address, the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com. Now, I can't promise you that your Gmail will be read on today's program, but at a certain time when there may not be as many calls, we will read the Gmails and Mr. Fuller can answer your questions there. And lastly, you can join our chat room. All you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com. And when you do that, you want to click on programs. And when you click on programs, a show menu will come up, and you want to click on the Produce Justice Show. When you do that, then the chat room box becomes available, and you can get in to the chat room and observe some of the things that are going in, maybe respond to some of the things going in. One of the features of the chat room that has been taken on by one of our chatters, constructive action items, usually gives a review of the topics that were discussed on the previous week. So you may want to check into that so you can get an idea of some of the things that go on in the chat room, and we really appreciate that. And sometimes I will take a message or something that is said in the chat room and present it to Mr. Fuller, but we ask you that you not use the chat room to ask me to ask Mr. Fuller a question. That's what the number is for and the Gmail is for, okay? All righty. I think that is all the house cleaning that I have to do here. Don't forget, when you call in, I see some hands being raised. Make sure you give the call screener your name so that I can, it'll be on my screen also. I think that is all, so let me do this. We have a feature where we have Mr. Fuller speak, so it's called Thoughts and Expressions on the Mind of Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. But before we do that, first of all, let me present to some and introduce to others Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. Mr. Fuller, good morning and how are you?
Good morning. I'm still learning.
Okay. Now, what is on your mind in terms of thoughts or expressions that you would like to say?
Well, I've been thinking about since last week and the week before that and the week before that. I haven't said too much, very much about it, but I've mentioned it several times, and that is this word, America. Another word, American, and I want to just for some reason, I just want to keep emphasizing, because it's the use of the word America, America, and also, since we're speaking worldwide, Africa, African, Asia, Asian. Now, what do these words actually mean? I think everybody on the planet should be thinking about what do we mean when we say African or Africa or Asia or Asians? Lots of things going on in the news now about people calling people Asians and saying go back where you came from and things like that, and beating them up on the streets. And, of course, there's always turmoil in a place called Africa, people killing each other, tribal warfare, all kinds of political intrigue. Then you talk about Americans and America. I spent yesterday a full day watching the whole series again, maybe about my fourth time, on Band of Brothers, was supposed to be based on a true story about a military unit in World War II called the 101st Airborne, I think it was, and the training they went through, and then the Normandy landing, and all of the aircraft that went down in that effort, June the 6th, 1944, and the Battle of Bastogne. I looked at the whole, I think it's 10 or 12 parts, all day yesterday. It took up the whole day. And because I've never read the whole story, which they say is a true story. However, there is a cliche, which I think is correct. Whomever made it up said that if you're talking about a war, the first thing that dies in any war is the truth. So I kept that in mind while I was looking at Band of Brothers, because I believe that's true. In fact, I believe that's true of all history, anybody's history. By the time it gets told for the second time, you lose a whole bit of the truth. Or it's never told in the first place. In courtrooms and whatnot, people say what? They say to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Well, it's very difficult, first of all, to know what the truth is. So lots of things going on that are never even told, because they're never even known. Hundreds of things. So if you're talking about telling the whole truth, you got to think about all the thousands of things, little stories that people will never know, because they died with the people who were there at the time. And sometimes the people who were there didn't really tell the truth about what they thought they saw. But they thought they were telling the truth. But something that they really experienced. But when they told about that experience, many times they got it 50% or maybe 90% or sometimes 100% all wrong. But to get back to the point, I was thinking about the use of the term America, Americans, Africans, or Africa. Those are the big threes, the three A's I call them, and Asians. And I'm saying what I have in the textbook when these terms are used, they should be used within the context of one thing. People who practice justice. If you're an African, an American, or an Asian, you are a person that practices justice, or you are not either one of those three things. That's a compensatory view. And I think it's the true way of looking at everything. Since people brag about being African, T-shirts, et cetera, or Asian, Asian, Pacific Islander, East Asian, Middle Asian, Northern Asia, Western Asia, and Asians. Well, what exactly is an Asian? And what is the value of knowing what an Asian is? When you say we're going to have a parade celebrating Asians, well, what are you celebrating? But Africans, according to the code, is what I've written. Asians and Americans do not exist. They are ideas. They're not realities. All of these are people. That's number one. Does an American do what an Asian does? Somebody says, well, to use a cliche, well, Asians eat rice. Do all Asians eat rice all of the time? Is a person who was born and raised in Louisiana an Asian? Why? Well, could be because people in Louisiana eat rice and beans. Brag about it. Good rice and beans. Well, now, does that make them Asians? Person said, no. They're Americans. Oh, so Americans eat rice and beans too. Well, yeah. Now, which are they, Americans or Asians? Well, it's not just about food. It's about a whole bunch of other things. A whole bunch of other things like what? So I came to the conclusion that if you're talking about Asians, Africans, and Americans, you're talking about people who practice justice. And since nobody can practice justice in the system of white supremacy, Asians, Africans, and Americans do not exist. And I've written that many, many years ago, and I stick with it. These are ideas, and ideas may include anything from food to shoes. American-made shoes, American-made car. Why is it American? Because an American made it. Well, what is an American? Well, America the Beautiful. What are we talking about? So the only logical thing, if you're talking about logic, is that somebody who does something is really different. Different like what? But what everybody else does. Everybody else like whom? You've got three categories of people on the entire planet. Africans, Americans, and Asians. That's it. Well, you got Hispanic Americans. I mean, Hispanic Americans are Americans, South Americans. You got North Americans, South America, if you're talking about places. You're talking about places or you're talking about people? Well, we're talking about both. Well, both doing what? What do they do that's different? What does an Asian do from what an American does? Well, food and, you know, and got different customs. Clothes, the clothes are different. Oh, it's all about clothes. Well, not exactly. Do we really know what we're talking about when we talk about these things? Well, America mistreats black people. Black people say that all the time. Americans mistreat black people. Well, what do these Americans look like that mistreat black people? Black people mistreat black people all over the world, big time. We're just babbling. Just throwing words up in there and saying, well, it means something or another. Something or another. Both black people and white people do this. People who are called Asians do this. Do we really know what we're talking about? How about that? Have we really thought about what we're saying? Well, the people in Southeast Asia, they mostly travel in bicycles and canoes. Well, does anybody else travel in a bicycle and a canoe? Well, yeah, but, you know, where are the dividing lines of the people that you're talking about? Well, we have American exceptionalism. Oh, now you're coming up with another term. Exceptionalism. Accepting what? Well, some things, you know, and not a whole lot of other things. Americans don't believe in tyranny. Oh? Oh? Well, let's get to the questions. That's what's on my mind.
That's what's on your mind today. Okay. On the mind of Mr. Fuller. Okay. Let's go to the phone calls, and let's go down to Houston. Get ready, John. Let me see here if I can get you in here. Okay, John, you're on with Mr. Fuller. Good morning, and what is your question?
Houston, we have a problem. Grand risings, gentlemen. To you, Mr. Bobby, to Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. I have a VGQ and a question for our elder this morning. When born in October 1929, if there were paperwork such as a birth certificate, you may have been categorized colored in the wake of the Racial Integrity Act of 1924. I would imagine some years later when your children were born, they may have been classified as Negro. And it's possible if you have great-grandchildren, maybe even pending on great-grandchildren, they may have been referred to as black, but not necessarily documented as so. When you were born, your parents and your grandparents knew that you were Muscogee, whether referred to as a Creek Indian or the definition of American, as you shared this morning, my good elder. But I'm still a bit perturbed, as you've asked repeatedly a few months back, why won't the smartest so-called white people or so-called black people solve the race problem? So my question, Mr. Bobby, whether you would like to answer it as well, can you ever do that if you, according to the FBI in 2019, refer to oneself as black or have an identity of black, it is categorized as an extremist and a national security threat along the lines of the Posse Comitatus, the Ku Klux Klan, and the Oath Keepers. So if reclaiming your at-birth Muscogee Indian heritage, which is referred to as an American, I might add, in the definition of American, the Aboriginal people of this land are the only ones that have the authority to try to address some of your concern. So my question again, just to underscore it, if reclaiming your Muscogee heritage, which is an Indian, may move us in the direction of being justice-providing Americans. And I'd like to listen to his response on the air. And thank you for the time, Mr. Bobby. Have a wonderful day.
Okay.
And don't forget, he's a veteran, and I am too. And Memorial Day was about the fallen soldiers, not barbecue and getting drunk and having a good time. But thank you, brother.
Okay. Mr. Fuller?
Well, like I said, and this is the main thing I want to keep emphasizing, because I had problems about 50 years of them trying to get black people to use the term white supremacy. I said, because that's accurate. That's accurate, you know. And so I'm talking about the three A's, American, African, Asian. What does that mean? I mean, in real time, what does it actually mean on a day-to-day basis when a person says, I'm a proud American, or I'm a proud Asian, or I'm a proud African? Well, what's the definitions? That's what we're talking here. We're talking about definitions. That's important. Definitions are important of words. So I concluded years ago from what everybody was basically saying that it's not just what you call costumes. Put on an Asian costume and come out in the streets and whatnot, and then say that you're a proud Asian or Pacific Islander. It's not talking about food. It's talking about what the people actually do and their interactions with each other and with people who are not Asians or people who are not Africans or people who are not Americans or people who are. How do people interact with each other? That's the only thing that really counts. When we start talking about all these labels, you say you're an American, what does that really mean? What do you do? You say, well, I'm an all-American. I'm a football player. So that makes me all-American. Oh, that makes you all-American because you're a football player. Now, what does that make the rest of the Americans? I mean, are they half Americans or quarter Americans or one-tenth Americans? But you're an all-American because somebody says that you play good football. What about those that play soccer? How about them? South Americans, maybe. Are they all-American? Well, I mean, you know, it's kind of complicated. You better believe it does. Because somebody makes it that way. It's just a whole lot of babbling. That's all you're doing. So the actual definitions, I'm saying, Americans, I'm going to say it again for the 1,000,000th time, in answer to the question. Americans are people, that's first of all, no such thing as an American eagle or an American mountain or an American river. Americans are people, logically speaking. People who do what? People who practice justice. Well, what about Africans? They're the same thing, if it amounts to anything at all. And what about Asians? Same thing. People who practice justice. Just those words. That says it all. Well, do the people who are on this planet now in the year 2023 practice justice? That's the question. Americans, Africans, or Asians? Now, somebody might say, well, sometimes they do. Well, what do you mean sometimes? They either do or they don't. Otherwise, why are you bragging? Because another thing, when you say you're a proud American, what are you bragging on?
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like bragging. You're a proud Asian? Asian proud. African proud. I'm black and I'm proud. Wait a minute. What do you do that you're so proud of? I mean, you know what you do. Now, what do you do that you're so proud of? I'm talking about the individual African Asian, or American,
mm-hmm.
what is it you actually do that you are so proud of? I mean, you got to be doing something to stick out your chest about anything. Not what you are, what you say you are. That's just calling words. Anybody can use words to say anything. And that's what my response is. I mean, and I want to hammer that. I mean, what is, and I'm saying, I concluded years ago that the Africans, Asians, Americans are all the same people. Since it's a, when you get through talking for 40 days and 40 nights, you say that they're all people who aspire to be. You're not already there. And the only logical thing is that people who, what, practice justice. Now, what is justice? Guaranteeing that nobody is mistreated. Otherwise, if you're an Asian or an African or an American and you mistreat people, it doesn't make sense for you to brag about anything. You mistreat people, you're mistreating people, and that's all you are.
Mm-hmm.
A person that mistreats people. So you don't want to be that. So it's an aspiration. And some poets, some writers, more than anybody, will say, well, America is a idea in progress. And when they get through talking for 40 days and 40 nights, they'll say the same thing about Africans. Oh, we're a work in progress. We're not a finished product yet. And then the Asians will say the same thing. Well, why don't you say that consistently rather than walk around being proud of something that you are not? You ain't never been an African because there's never been a time when people on this planet in modern history weren't being mistreated.
Mm.
Never been. No people have been brag about that. We don't have anybody that gets mistreated. Oh, you don't? I'm reading the paper every day, listening to the television, looking at it, radio, newspapers, magazines. People being mistreated all over the place, all over the world, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And people who need help the most not getting it all of the time. So nobody has bragging rights to be a so-called American, an African, or an Asian. They don't even exist. What we really are walking around on this planet are a bunch of mistreaters. Let's tell the truth. But we should all try to be Africans, Asians, and Americans. We whom? Everybody on the planet, be all three of the A's, the three A's.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what we should be working to be 24/7. People who guarantee that nobody's mistreated and who guarantee that the person that needs help the most gets the most constructive help.
Yes, sir. Okay. All righty. John from Houston, thank you. Now let's take a break here. You are listening to the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neil E. Fuller, Jr., and we thank you for doing that. Now, to contact today's show, you know the number, but we'll give it to you. People who are new calling in, it's 516-453-9921. And make sure you press the number one button if you have a question or a brief comment. Now, if you're a new caller, dial that same number, 516-453-9921. But be sure to tell the call screener your name and that you are a new caller so we can get you right on there. They will let me know that you are a new caller. You can also Gmail me at the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com. It won't be read today, but at some point in time it will be. And lastly, you can join the chat room by going to blogtalkradio.com. That's blogtalkradio.com. And when you get on there, you want to go to the program menu and select programs, and then you will select the Produce Justice Show. You click on that, and then the chat room becomes available to you. So make sure you do that. Books that Mr. Fuller is speaking about can be obtained by going to the producejustice.com website, and you want to pick up the publications. We'll have him speak more on that later on in the program. We have 2 hours, so we'll try to make sure that we get that on so that everybody knows what's going on, and you can purchase the book from there. Okay, let's do this. Let's get a Gmail in here. This is from, who is this? This is from Sam. Sam says this, Mr. Fuller. He says, Mr. Fuller, in the book, you describe only 3 categories of people: white supremacist, white, and non-white. Why do you frequently use the term black people and black person on the show? He had a follow-up question to that, too, but go ahead and answer that, Mr. Fuller.
Because people understand it. The words that I use is just try to get an understanding of what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And so black people are non-white. And somebody tells me, genetically speaking, that I've been told down through the years, I don't know if it's true or not, that all of the non-white people of the planet, and really, and some people say white people too, came basically from black people, that the first people on the planet were of what we might call primitive people, and plenty of symptoms of that even today, were black people. And everybody else evolved out of that. And there's some evidence that that could be true. They have what we call albinos. I mean, that is a stage of the evolution from black to extremely light,
mm-hmm.
all white. And that white people, when they don't have melanin in their skin, something called melanin, I've heard that over and over again, they are white. But black people didn't evolve out of white people. It's just the other way around, so I have been told. And logically speaking, I guess that's true. Because most of the universe is black. And they say out of blackness comes whiteness, not the other way around. That blackness doesn't come out of whiteness. They say in some situations, physically speaking, in the cosmos, that's
mm-hmm.
true, because everything in existence kind of evolves from one stage to another and then goes back to its original stage and then starts the process all over again, so that since everything works in a circumference style, everything in what we call our universe, say the beginning becomes the end and the end becomes the beginning, and it just keeps doing that. I don't know if that's true or not, but I've heard that everything works in a circumference. I think Frank Sinatra sings a song called Cycles.
Okay. He continues on with the follow-up question that says this. So the follow-up question, would you, Mr. Fuller, consider retiring the term black people and replacing it with non-white going forward in order to reduce confusion?
Oh, well, I can do both, which is what I do. But basically, if you look at the textbook for Victims of White Supremacy, I say it's 3 categories of people, quote-unquote, racially speaking, and that is white, non-white and white supremacists. I didn't say black. I said non-white. That includes black, brown, red, or red, red, brown, tan, beige, yellow, light yellow, dark yellow, whatever that means. And I've said many times on this program, most black people are brown. They'll say, why? You know, you hear people use the expression, black and brown people. The brown people are coming across the border. The black people are already here. Well, most black people are brown throughout the entire world. You know, if you just put everybody out in a strong sunlight and look at them, you'll see white people. You'll see white people who you might say, I don't know if it's true or not, but I believe it is, because how white is white? You might have lighter white. I've seen white people when they lined up, and they all call white people, but I've seen some of them seem to be, and I don't have excellent eyesight, some of them, particularly in the summertime when you see white people on a beach or something like that, some of them seem to be whiter than others, but they're all white people. But some seem to be whiter than others, and it's not on account of the sun. It looks that way all the time. And it's slide. It's, two of them standing next to each other. That's about the only time you can tell. And you'll notice if you pay real attention, close attention, and you have excellent eyesight, you might notice that one white person might be just a little hint of being darker than the other white person, particularly when you start talking about now. That's when it real gets really kind of weird. Southern Europeans, they used to call them Mediterraneans. Mediterranean white. Actually, you'll find that in some old textbook. These are Mediterranean Caucasians. They're not basic Caucasians. They are Mediterranean Caucasians. Mediterranean meaning what? Well, I mean, you know, they're down there near the Mediterranean Sea, where it gets a little bit warmer over a period of time. And they're out there in it. Red Fox once made, because I talk about Jesus being white or black. Red Fox, the comedian, said, Jesus had to be black, because ain't no way in the world you can walk around Jerusalem for 33 years without a hat on and not get black.
Okay. All righty. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Mr. Fuller. Okay. Back to the phone lines, and let's go to NYC and Tess. Get ready, Tess, if I can clue this thing in here properly. Let's see here. Okay, Tess, you're on with Mr. Fuller. What is your question?
Good morning.
Good morning.
One moment. Mr. Fuller, you mentioned the importance of using the 5th and 14th Amendments of the United States Constitution. I'm currently in the process of acquiring a pocket version of the United States Constitution. Mr. Fuller, my question is, have you considered making a pocket version of the code? In other words, a pocket guide for universal man and universal woman. Thank you.
Okay.
If I understand the question, no, I haven't considered a universal man and universal woman and what that would be like, other than they are people who practice justice. That's the main thing I say. Because once you start practicing justice, that's the only real title that you need. That's why I say that We got American, we got Asian, we got this, we got that, we got all kind of tribal names. We're proud of doing this. No, do you practice justice in everything you do? You don't mistreat anybody, ever. And you help the person that needs help the most, all the time, without fail. Nobody qualifies for that. The world is not built like that. The powerful people, the white supremacists, first of all, will not allow that. They're anti-justice. And they run the world. So that's taken care of already. Now, we should aspire to be universal man and universal woman. And that's the main feature. And everything else is supposed to come after that or be a part of that. Guaranteeing that nobody's mistreated all the time, not some of the time, and guaranteeing that the person that needs help the most gets the most constructive help in all areas of activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. Nothing but the best. Every person on the planet. And then we'll have universal man and universal woman, and everybody should aspire to be just that.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes in Americans, Asians, Africans, because we'll all mean the same thing. Universal man, universal woman, in tune with the best. Nothing but the best.
Mm-hmm.
Of everything in the universe, every grain of sand, everything that you touch, everything that you see, nothing but the most constructive result out of everything that you do. You don't
make
a move. You don't speak to anybody without what you're saying having a constructive result.
Yes, sir.
We all keep our mouths shut
mm-hmm.
until we can say something that's going to have a constructive result. That's a long ways from ML.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All righty. Thank you, Tess from the NYC. Thank you very much. Let's see, right here. This is from Ray, Mr. Fuller, from the Gmail. He said this, Mr. Fuller, if you ask for and were granted compensation in the form of cash payments by the white supremacists, and that very same currency became suddenly useless globally, what should be the next type of compensation that we should be asked and or begged for?
Well, first of all, I don't recommend cash payments. That's just my position, and I've told people that over and over again. Cash payments shouldn't even be considered. If you're going to do a repair job. I mean, when you get ready to do something on such a scale, like repairing black people's minds and bodies and for generational damage, you don't even consider money. You do it just like you do the Queen of England. Queen of England does not walk around with a purse counting change at McDonald's. They just say, what does the Queen need? Well, she needs a different set of clothes. Well, that's the Queen. You don't question how much it's going to cost and all like that. You give her what she needs. She needs some health care, special health care, or the King. That's how you consider it. If you're going to do a repair job, or like you're going to repair a country after it's been bombed into the ground, nothing but rubble, you just say, hey, what does it take to make everything the way it ought to be in this place that's been wiped out by a hurricane? What does it take? Well, it takes whatever it takes. All of the damage. Yeah, all of the people got hit in the head and they're walking around groggy and whatnot and they're half crazy. You got to repair that? Yeah. This is a repair job. Well, how much is it going to, whatever it takes, for as long as it takes to do a full repair job? Now, black people ought to think about that more than anybody, seriously, and think long range. What kind of people are we going to turn out to be? If you give everybody $5-10 million, and we are in the state of mind, black people, that we have now, heaven forbid, just the way we think, every black person who perceives him or herself as being old, at least that amount, 10 million, 20 million, you pay them off today with the state of minds that we have now, the kind of things that we do, our mind's not going to change that much. We're going to do a whole lot more of what we usually do. I would say the majority, every tribe and everybody. I'm talking about paying off everybody in Africa under what you call colonialism. $40 million a person. I can picture the chaos in my mind right now. I know what's going to happen. I'm not guessing because I know our state of minds. I've been with us a long time because I'm one of us. $40 million cash. Wow. Talking about fentanyl. You'll see stuff on sale you never heard of before and never will hear of again. Those laboratories will be working full time wherever those laboratories are that make stuff that's going to be harmful.
Mm-hmm.
And black people in our state of mind will be buying all kinds of stuff. It's going to lead us, every last one of us who collected that $40 million, with the exception of a few, right straight to the grave.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying you don't even consider that. You consider repairing our minds along with reparations. Talking about a huge repair job, the most phenomenal repair job ever in modern history. Repairing the minds and bodies and repairing the futures, setting us up so that we don't have to have to do all this again.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of repair job we're talking about, generational. You don't put a dollar value on that, because you can't. Talking about generations. So,
yes, sir.
To start off with, if we're talking about compensation, which is a word that I prefer to use, but reparations is fine, it just means practice justice.
Mm-hmm.
That should be what black people should ask for. Just do justice. Guarantee that every person that needs the most constructive help gets it. And guarantee that the person that guarantee that each person is never mistreated. And that applies to everybody, something that
everybody.
White people can get on board with, because they're not going to get on board with all this stuff about cash. That's going to go back and forth like into infinity, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But if we just talk about doing justice, stop practicing and glorifying non-justice, stop glorifying murder, which black people just love to do a whole lot of, I didn't know as many people in Zimbabwe just a few years ago had slaughtered each other until 3 days ago. Mm-hmm. But they said, yeah, that was a civil war, well, just about a couple of decades ago or something like that, in Zimbabwe. I hadn't kept up with that. They said, man, they killed more people than they did in World War II in Zimbabwe. Now, I think that's a big exaggeration, but it may be true.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Somebody can probably look it up and see if that in the last two decades, as many people as were killed in World War II were killed in Zimbabwe alone, black people killing each other.
Hmm.
Okay. My goodness. I mean, that kind of, you know, you might as well bring back colonialism. If you're going to be acting like that.
Hmm.
And stop parading, I mean, and talking about liberation was back in 1960 or something. Forget that. Don't have no kind of parade. This was still going on in the Sudan or any other place. No reason for this. Need to sit down at the table and talk. Talk forever. Rather than start slaughtering.
Hmm. Okay. It's funny that you mentioned liberation. My mind just went to an old movie. I don't know why it did, but The Liberation of L.B. Jones. I don't know why it did that, and I don't know if that had any significance to this conversation. But anyway, thank you, Mr. Fuller, for addressing that question. And since we're on that question, and a few people have emailed me about purchase of the book, we need for you to discuss your book as we get ready to close out this first hour.
Yes, all of the things that I'm saying now are directly, indirectly said in the book, The Textbook for Victims of White Supremacy, including all that I started off talking about, that we should use the terms Africans, Americans, and Asians to refer to one people, and that is people who practice justice. And since nobody practices justice, everybody should be trying to be an African, an Asian, and an American. Everybody on the planet. Because these words should mean, if they mean anything at all, the same thing. Otherwise, don't stop bragging on being any one of the three. Because you're not qualified. You're not qualified to brag because it's impossible to be that. A person that practices justice. That's impossible in the system of white supremacy. That's a direct contradiction. So nobody practices justice. And if you don't practice justice, you can go by any name. You don't have to call yourself a proud African or American or an Asian. I mean, you're just a person that doesn't practice justice.
Mm-hmm.
And then what kind of label do you need for that? None. You don't practice justice, what are you bragging about? And nobody has a right to brag. That's what I'm saying. Of all the people on the planet right now, no one. You haven't stopped practicing. You haven't started practicing justice yet. Nowhere on this planet do you find people that practice justice. So what's the bragging about? You don't have a right to brag. That's an insult to the Creator. You want to insult the Creator, just start bragging about anything, because we are some worthless creatures. All this killing that we do, like I said, I started off this program saying I was looking at Band of Brothers. They're bragging about killing. That's what it's all about, being proud of being killers. Truth be told, Japanese warriors, samurai, and all this, bragging about killing and saying civilization? We don't have any idea. Black people, white people, or no people walking around. I mean, the Christians are correct about that. We don't have any idea of what civilization is like. None. They got nerve enough to be strutting up and down the street having celebrations of war. Crazy as we can be. Have a celebration when you have peace on earth.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only time even to take a deep breath.
Alrighty. Alrighty. Anyway, you
that's
can get
the
book. Yes. Go ahead.
You can get by going to producejustice.com.
Okay. Before we conclude the first hour concerning what is called Memorial Day, Mr. Fuller, have you heard or subscribed to the theory that Memorial Day was supposedly called when black folk originally, or rather, called when black folks during the Civil War wanted to bury their dead back in the South where they came as a memorial and went and got those bodies and then buried them back where they became as a memorial and then the country picked it up. Have you heard anything to that extent?
No, but people have been dying ever since people have been born. So I always say that when you go to grave sites, first of all, grave sites are places where people are buried. And everywhere you step, when I say you, I mean anybody, a person, an animal, anybody, everywhere you step, you're stepping on somebody's grave. So if you're talking about grave sites, you don't have to look for none. If you're talking about black people's graves, the whole planet is carpeted with them. The bottom of the oceans, they wall to wall. I mean, jammed up against, side each other. If I mean, what's left of them? You're talking about, what, how many thousands of years? Everywhere you step. And in some black neighborhoods right now, in the northwestern hemisphere and in other places, anywhere you step right now, you step in where somebody got killed. Usually by somebody else who was black. In St. Louis, in Kansas City, somebody was killed on that spot, on that same bus stop where you're standing right now. If you're standing on one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, somebody was killed back in 1932, right on that very spot where you're standing. And so where a person is killed, I mean, you might as well be buried there because that's where you were killed. But they picked the body up and took it somewhere else. That's not where the body died. We got to do some thinking. I mean, kindergarten thinking. We don't do any of that. It's not our fault. Under the system of white supremacy, we're taught to be dumber and dumber. Can't even get the words straight about what is an American after all these years. Americans don't exist. It's an idea. What idea? Not mistreating people. And helping people that need help the most. That's America. Doesn't exist nowhere.
Okay.
Say, well, we do pretty good at it. I mean, the people. Well, pretty good is not good enough. So you ain't qualified.
Hmm.
I mean, trying to be something is different from being it. They say, well, America's, you know, a people in progress. Well, say that. So you're not nowhere near that neighborhood yet. of being American. No one walking this planet, or an African or an Asian. So stop bragging.
Alrighty. Well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to conclude the first hour of the Counter Racist Code Show. But coming up next, a comment from the chat room about reparations. And then we'll take a phone call from Corey from Milwaukee. All of that and more coming up next as we conclude the first hour of the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller. The second hour will start in 5 seconds. Okay, welcome back to the second hour of the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. I am the co-host, Mr. Bobby. To get in contact with today's show, you know the numbers, but here they are, 516-453-9921, and make sure that when you call that number, press the number one button if you have a question or a comment for Mr. Fuller, please make it brief. Again, if you are a first-time caller, make sure you give the call screener your name, follow the same rules, and you can be brief also. If you do not want to use that method, you can Gmail me at the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com. I will get it, and occasionally, well, when we have the time, I will read that. And then, lastly, you can contact the show by the chat room, which I'm getting ready to read after I finish this. All you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com, and you want to click on where it says programs. And when you do that, then you want to produce Justice Show. Click that on, and you are in. That's all you have to do. And then the chat room comes up, and you can get in the chat room and see what's going on. There are many people in the chat room today. Good conversations going on in the chat room. Mr. Fuller, before we ended last program, was speaking about where you can get the book. And the book you can get by going to producejustice.com, producejustice.com. Okay, let's go on with this. This is from the Gmail, and then Corey, I'm going to come to you. It says this, Mr. Fuller, white people, when they get compensated, will also spend money foolishly. So cash is what it is about first and foremost. Then we'll get into health care, housing, and all else. Give us the money, and we'll self-determine how we're going to use it. We'll buy our own damn land. We don't want this white supremacist determining what we'll have. Black people learn to practice and worship murder or homicide from the white supremacist. We've learned from them, as you often like to say. Mr. Fuller, we no longer refer to ourselves as African Americans. We now self-identify largely as foundational Black Americans. Mr. Fuller, you are wrong in your stance about cash reparations. Absolutely wrong. Black grassroots have determined that reparations start with cash and goes from there to health care, land, and other things. Every other group on the planet has been compensated with cash, not with education, education policies, housing, or health care. Give us the cash, and we'll buy our own damn land, our own damn health care and education. That is what an empowered mindset looks like. But, Mr. Fuller, your fear is that black people will get that cash and spend it all up on whiskey, jewelry, fur coats, and other foolishness. Not true. Most of us will put those dollars to great use, while some of us will go out and be foolish with it. I wish, Mr. Fuller, you would stop judging all of us black people by the foolish actions of a few. But cash reparations is where the black masses, including many of your core supporters, are at this point. And you, Mr. Fuller, need to get on board and code as well. That was one of the comments in the chat room from Justice Warrior. Okay. He said what he said. Let's go to Corey. Corey, get ready. Milwaukee coming up here. Okay, Corey, you are on. Good morning. But Mr. Fuller, go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Bobby. Good morning, Mr. Fuller.
Good morning, sir.
Mr. Fuller, as you stated, because no Americans, Africans, or Asians exist, and those who are in the position of power on in this universe are those who practice racism. So my question is it logical for us to ask for and only expect right now individual instances that would be acts of justice? For example, is it logical for us to only expect that in this particular instance, possibly this person will commit a just act towards us and not harm us and give us help? Thank you.
Well, people are individuals, and the textbook workbook for victims of white supremacy addresses individual persons. And like part of the answer that I think you're looking for from that viewpoint for me includes what one of the previous many of the previous callers have said, and out of the chat room and out of the emails and all like that. Even when it comes to reparations, that's an individual thing. So they're going to have, the way to do it would be just so that people just don't squabble forever. They would have various categories that you choose from. And that would be the way to do it so that we don't get into endless squabbles and say, well, it one size fits all. No, the people who want cash should get cash, but don't come back, all right? Because I know that's the way it's going to be. You know, I mean, when you spend this cash, when you spend it all, I mean, you know, so there won't be no complaints on anybody's part. Everybody will understand it. But then people like Fuller who says, no, he doesn't want cash. He wants a long-term arrangement where he's guaranteed that he'll have a house and guaranteed that he'll have education and maybe a couple of generations of his offspring, guaranteed. You know, that's the route he wants to go. He wants long-term. But other people want fast cash right now, all of it. And then goodbye. Don't ever come back and ask for anything because you've been paid. And those people should say, hey, I ain't coming back. I know what to do. I know how to handle money. I mean, you know, money. Hey, you give me some money. Hey, I can buy all the Rockefellers that ever will be. The way I'm going to operate, I know it all. I know how money works. Well, Neely Fuller ain't going to be one of them. I'm going to say that right now. Because I don't know that much. I worked at the money house. I don't know that much about how money works. For 32 years, I worked in the place where they printed money. But that didn't tell me nothing about money and how it works. I learned nothing there. Because I don't think that's where you learn. You learn about money from people who don't even have money. They don't even touch money. But they control the people that do touch money. See, I've heard that, all right, worldwide. See, I've heard all kinds of different stories. So I say, no, I don't know enough about money. to be, you know, don't hand me no one-time payoff and send me nowhere. I think that's a scam. That's what I think it is.
Hmm. Okay.
I want the stuff that money will buy for generations on an as-needed basis until I am fully repaired, including my mind, because I am not an educated person. I don't know all the things that I should know. I'm not a know-it-all. I know very little of what I should know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the first things I would have to have. And the people coming behind me, they would have to learn a lot of what they should know. Because I'm assuming people that I know personally, that's what I would ask for them, generational. I mean, you know, you got to repair your mind, too, so that you know the things that you ought to know. Know the things that all the scientists know, if you can learn that much. Or they can learn how to teach you what they call artificial intelligence. See, we need to be tapping into all of that so that we learn things that we never even knew existed. Because a lot of things are coming into existence.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the compensatory way. Compensatory, that's a key word. It means making up for everything that's missing. So if you don't know what's missing, you don't even know what to make up for.
Mm-hmm.
But people who want to go that way say, hey, I want to roll the dice one time. They say, okay, you said $20 million, you got it. Don't come back.
Don't come back.
Because I know how the races operate. I know that much. Don't come back. All right? You take that $20 million and you think you're in heaven. We're going to give it to you. Don't you dare come back here for anything. Because you don't even know what we got stored, how the world is going to work 10 years from now. Because we work the world. You don't work it. You don't work nothing. The only work you do is what we make you black people do all over the world. You ain't even learned that.
Ready? All right. Thank you, Corey, and thank you for listening and being a loyal listener. Back to the Gmails. This person asked not to mention their name. So I will not mention their name. Says, Mr. Fuller, I want to know what situations not to argue with whites in. I also want to know Mr. Fuller's opinion according to the code between sex and entertainment, especially because of the hypersexualization in most mainstream music and entertainment that got me into porn as a teen. I'm also in the process of buying the book. Thanks. Mr. Fuller?
The white supremacists govern everything that black people do, including everything that black people want to do. I'm going to say that again. We're in the system of white supremacy. That's the world government. Black people are the, you might say, the foundation of that system. Non-white people. All the different shades of black. So the white supremacists set our values. We don't have any values. We don't know what's valuable and what isn't. So the white supremacists say this is 10 and this is 20. We didn't know that till they told us. What do we know? We've always come under them. Everybody who's on the planet now who was born in the system of white supremacy. Because it's not the one system. Not an American system. We need to stop saying that. I said that the last hour over and over again, and I've been saying it for about 50 years. No such thing as an American system of doing anything. or an African system, or an Asian system. It all comes under the system of white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only system. That's the only government on the planet. All other so-called governments are just imitations, and very poor ones at that. And that's the truth. Nobody here made it that way. All the people that set it up are dead. So, but people continue it because that's the only thing, that's the only show in town. No other
mm-hmm.
show. And so
okay.
in answer to the question, there's no way to really predict much of anything. We're prisoners of war. If you're black, you got a black skin, your black skin is your prison uniform in 2023, without exception. And you're a prisoner of what? Of whom? Of the white people who practice white supremacy. Now, all the evidence shows that. I haven't seen any evidence. I haven't. And nothing has come to my attention where this is not true. But black people called in on this program many times and say it ain't true. I say, well, show me the evidence where it's not. Show me a place where this is not true. Just one. And I get silence. Every time. Without exception. Well, you're just sounding negative. I mean, you ain't giving. I mean, you giving those white folks too much credit. I ain't giving them nothing except what they demanded, and they demanded everything from me. That's why I'm their prisoner, and my poor parents before me.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't even heard no story that's different that could be proven. They say, well, it wasn't that way 10,000 years ago. Well, I mean, 10,000 years ago ain't happening now. That's my response to that when people start talking about, well, way back before the planet was even here, I mean, black people were in the cosmos, and we invented everything. Didn't nobody else invent nothing. Well, that's nice and comfortable when you ain't on welfare.
Okay, and the second part of that question was he wanted to know, what is Mr. I also want to know Mr. Fuller's opinion according to the code between sex and entertainment, specifically because of the hypersexualization in most mainstream music. And
oh, yeah, it's going to be that. See, the white supremacy, yeah, I didn't answer the question, really.
Well, that was the second part of the question.
Yeah. Well, mainstream, when we say mainstream, look at our words. That's why I have a word guide as part of the code. Mainstream music. Mainstream, what do we mean by mainstream? We mean white. After we get through arguing back and forth for 40 days and 40 nights, we'll say, yeah, well, when it comes right down to it, yeah, that's mainstream. Well, everything gets swept up in the mainstream. That's why they call it the mainstream. You got a mainstream, then you got little side streams, and the side streams all go into the mainstream.
Hmm.
You're talking about geography and geophysics
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
all that. So you mean white. So, but the way you get to that is just asking questions and getting answers. So why is it this way? Because the white supremacists want it this way. They want black people, just like in all areas of activity, but sex is real powerful. So the white supremacists say everything that black people do sexually, we're going to control it.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna have them marathon sexualized, for one thing, and burn themselves out at age 20. I mean, just running from one bedroom to another. I mean, eyes bugged, just fanatical, jumping their car and take off to the next bedroom, and then the next one, and then the next one, and then the next one, and on and on and on. And only stopping to eat a whole lot of greasy food until they get unhealthy and can't do no more sex. And that's what we do with them. Because they ain't got no mind.
Mm-hmm.
They just, you know, their sex drive is just running here and running there, going in every direction you can name. So we feed that until they just burn out on it or get in big trouble because of it. And we handle that. See, they don't know what they want, but we teach them what they should want. And they don't even know that we do that, because we do it in a roundabout way. We do it through other black people.
Okay. Let me ask a question here. On that point there, I was reading in the book of Romans in the New Testament, without being religious, I'm certainly not trying to be religious, but in the book of Romans, in the first chapter, the Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Rome, in particular to the quote-unquote Christians that were in Rome. He was having there was contention between the Christians in there, in Rome, at the church. And he had mentioned, particularly from verse 18 on down through the end of the chapter, I think it's 32, that they were doing a lot of stuff that they shouldn't have been doing, men liking men, women liking women. Paul indicated that they knew what the, quote, word of God said, but they refused to do it because they wanted to do what they were doing with all these acts and so forth that were going on in that time. So I'm asking, since the Apostle Paul wrote that, and I know you weren't around and I weren't around, but it was left on record for us to look at that and review that, believe it or not. But this has been going on for quite some time. So when this brother here mentioned about the porn industry, don't you think that this program was going on because Paul indicated that these people knew what the Word of God said, but they refused to do it?
So the question is, were they doing that back in those days, and they're just still doing it?
Yes. I mean,
The answer is yes. It's never changed. I mean, they admit that.
Yeah.
I mean, the Pope says we got to clean up our act. That's in the Pope of Rome here in 2023. So I've heard. Say we got to root out these priests and whatnot that molested these little boys and whatnot, and just gathering them up by the chariot and taking them back there in the rectory. Yeah, it's the rectory, all right. I mean, it's nothing, you know, there's an old slogan, nothing new under the sun.
Right, I've heard that before.
Right.
So Paul went on to say that now this is what Paul said. Paul, the Apostle Paul, said that God, Yahweh, turned them over to a mind of reprobation so that they weren't going to obey the will of God anyway. He let them do what was in their heart or mind, to do. So this idea of supremacy was it looks like that this idea was prevalent all along because they did not want to do what the Word of God said. So this brother that wrote in about the porn industry, in particular the music, and I think that we all have heard about some of the stuff that goes on with the music and the suggestive dancing and the lyrics, this is not a new behavior. I'm just basically, asking, a question because a lot of it was put on the white supremacy. So I'm getting at this point Would you, in your opinion, with all the knowledge or that you know and don't know, consider white supremacy as an evil spirit?
As an evil spirit?
Yes.
Yeah, you could say that.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
People have minds that generate ideas,
mm-hmm.
and
okay.
so that idea is generated that you can do a lot of things. Just watch people, what people do.
Yes, sir.
See, people say a lot of things, but just go around and check. There are people parading in the street with flags and saying all kinds of alternative pride that we have in what we do. And you say, well, what do you do? And so just look at some of the old graphic statues and whatnot that they have all over places like, from what I understand, India and the ruins of the Mediterranean area and Rome and Greece. I mean, don't even mention Greece.
Hmm.
Without, I mean, if you start talking about porn and all that, tons of it. I mean,
yes.
At the same time, they say, what? At one word, civilization. If you start talking about civilizations, you're talking about Greeks and Romans. You know, how are you going to talk about a civilization without talking about Greece and Rome, ancient Greece and Rome, as far back as you can go? Civilization. And then you look and see what the people do.
Yes, sir.
Feed people to the lions. And then right after that, go and have a feast and then have an orgy. Everybody, male, female, little boys, little girls. How many different things can we do with our sex organs? Try to dream up stuff that we never thought of before. Caligula having a baby by his sister and then cutting the baby out of her womb. And eating the fetus and blood pouring out of his mouth. And they depicted that in a series called I, Claudius.
That's one of the books, isn't it, that you refer, I mean, one of the...
And then they made a movie about Caligula, but I never saw it, put out by Penthouse Magazine. But they said that, and they said that, a time of great civilization, that Caligula... Not only did these things, he did built up a lot of buildings and aqueducts and stuff like that. Did great things, civilization. But this was all a part of what they call Roma Grecia civilization. Attach that word civilization. There's never been a civilization on this planet in modern history, anyway. I don't know about real ancient, because they said they had them in Africa. But I don't know whether that's true or not. See, I don't say anybody has bragging rights.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, among Christians, one of the first things I learned is that there's a saying that I think most people that know anything about church have heard, at least, and that something to the effect of none are righteous. None, zero. There are no righteous people. So when you say civilized, you also mean righteous. Civilized means nobody is harmed. That's number one. So how are you going to have a Roman civilization with all those swords and with a Colosseum dedicated to killing people? Let's stroll over to the Colosseum. They're going to feed people to the lions today. Today is, you know, feed the lions day. And they're going to bring people out there to fight the lions until death. So because the lions are going to keep coming. Either they're going to kill the lion or the lion's going to kill them.
Mm.
And then we'll have them fighting each other, the people that we conquered.
Yeah.
And call it civilization.
Mm. Civilization.
And applaud when the people up in the stands, the women can't stand no more the bloodshed and all like that, and they faint. So they have whole cadres of people to fan the latest so that they can revive and look at some more of it and then faint again. Civilization. And we go to school to learn about it.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, black all people right. have to go to school and learn all about that.
Yeah. Oh,
talking about miseducation.
Let's learn about this right here. We're going to take a break. You're listening to the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. here on this on this radio station to show me my radio days. But we are right here, and you can get all the information at producejustice.com. That's producejustice.com. We sure do thank you for listening to the program. We got about a half an hour to go. We got a few more questions. And don't forget you can call in at this number here, which is 516-453-9921. Make sure you press the number one button and give your name to the call screener so I can properly give you an introduction. If you are a first-time caller, do that also. Give your name to the call screener so I can get you on here, and you will be heard today. No question about that. You can also join the chat room, and there is some interesting conversations going on in that chat room. You can go to blogtalkradio.com. You want to make sure that you click on where it says programs. And then under programs, you click that on, and then the shows come on. And you want to get the Produce Justice show. Produce Justice. Make sure you get that. You click on that, and the chat room is there for you to click on and enter in and join the conversation. Good. Okay. You can also, and probably we will get a chance to ask Mr. Fuller one more time about his publication that you can also get at producejustice.com. We emphasize that because I have received a few emails that that people have been purchasing the book, and that's good. I know that some people in the chat room have purchased the book for other people. 888 does or has, and Constructive Action Items makes her contribution by giving you a summary of whatever we've been talking about on the next program or on the previous programs, excuse me. So, and if she's available for next week, she'll do that again. But all those contribute to informing people about the code book, and how you suggested that you get the code, look at it, read it. And if it's relevant to wherever you're at, then yeah, that'd be a good thing to know how to combat racism, which is white supremacy. Okay, let's see here. Let me see here. Oh yeah, this has been one of the topics of the day. It just went there, so okay, about reparations. But the gentleman that did that, I would say Ray, said this. He used a VGQ. He said, "I said what I said, VGQ,
mm-hmm.
in regards to cash payments." Then he went on to write that black people can only buy what the white supremacists allow to be sold. Don't get caught with trillions of dollars in monopoly money. And we all know monopoly money is what? Worthless. Yeah, worthless. All right, thank you. Thank you, Ben. Or excuse me, Ray. Excuse me, Ben was somebody else. Okay, it was Red. There we go. Let me see here. Okay, back to the phone lines. Okay, wait a minute. All right, Boo. That's what you have here, Boo, in Canada. At least that's what's on my screen. So you are going to get a chance here. Wait a minute. Let me get over here. Okay. All right, Boo, you're on with Mr. Fuller. Go ahead with your question.
Good morning, Mr. Bobby. Good morning, Mr. Fuller.
Yes, sir.
So my question is about fear and within the system of white supremacy. Before I discovered the code and before I discovered your work, Mr. Fuller, I always used to have sort of like this fear in my body, this anxiety, especially when I was around white people and white racists or suspected racists. But ever since I found your work, I'm a lot calmer, and I feel a lot more stable, and I can feel like I can walk into any room with any kind of people, white or black, or any race, and still be comfortable. And so my question is this sort of like normal? Is this sort of like the normal, I guess, response to, you know, trying to practice, you know, what's in the code book? So I don't know if my question makes sense, but is it normal that I feel a lot more stable, a lot more calmer as I have come to understand how the system works?
If I understand the question, yes. The more familiar you are with driving a car or doing anything, the calmer you become in doing it. When you first tried to ride a bicycle, you weren't calm. I know I wasn't. This thing is wobbly. I mean, I better get off this thing. I'm fixing to fall. But then, the more I kept trying, the more I understood. And I say, I'm actually riding. I'm pedaling now. And I'm not stopping every 2 or 3 feet and trying to hold it steady. I'm rolling. Just, and the next thing you know, by the second day, I had it down pat. I'm zooming now. I think everybody has that experience. It's the same way with everything. The more you understand something, the easier it gets to handle it. And it's no different between relationships between people, any kind of relationship. The more familiar you are with how the other person thinks, what they're apt to do, what they're apt to not do, the calmer you become. The white supremacists are the greatest students of people ever, who have ever existed. That's why they run the entire planet. Because they study people long before they engage with them. They stand off at a distance and study. Study what they laugh at. Study what makes them angry. Study how they have an income. Study all of their strengths and all of their weaknesses. And the white supremacists operate the same day even today. They come among dark-skinned people, and the first thing they do is not much of anything except just observe. Little by little, they watch everything that you do. And if you watch people, like Confucius said, you can learn anything without even saying anything. You can learn everything about them. All you have to do is watch them. That came from Confucius. See, people are not complicated at all. All you have to do is follow them around and watch them. Watch what they do. Watch what they say. How they say it. Next thing you know a whole lot more about them than they know about you, because you ain't doing nothing. Just watching them.
Mm-hmm.
And the white supremacists understand that principle. Black people, on the other hand, we get around a crowd of people, first thing we want is everybody looking at us. And so they look at us. So they learn more about us than we learn about them. The white supremacists do just the opposite. That's how they conquered the world. They say, I know how that Negro thinks. Oh, that'll make him mad. That'll make him real mad. Will you do this and do that? No. But now if you do this and this and this, they'll be tap dancing. They'll be grinning from ear to ear.
Mm. Yes, sir.
You tell them, and, you know, and then you can just slowly begin to cultivate what you know about them, because they know nothing about you. But they love to show out. That's one of the first things you learn.
Yes, sir.
So let them show out, because you're learning. When they get through showing out, you know everything about them. They know nothing about you. One thing they don't know how deadly you are if you're a white supremacist.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Boo from Canada. Let me see here. This comes from Future Bean. I guess you could say this is a VGQ, but he said this. See, AI answered, "I'm still learning." When you ask a question about race, who is the white racist? He says the computer refuses to answer, then turns off. Have a great day. Okay. May have to check that out. Okay, back to the phone lines and to the NYC. Blacktop, get ready. See if I can get you in here. Okay, let's see. Okay, Blacktop, you're on with Mr. Fuller. What is your question?
Okay, so here's my question. I need you to kind of follow me here. So I remember you saying that The Shawshank was a good model for how to live in a prison. In that movie, Red, he was a hustler, meaning he was a criminal, and many times he was breaking criminal law or prison law. If that's the case, and that's the model we should follow, does that give us a pass, according to the code, to be a hustler, a pimp, a thief, or a gangster?
Yeah, well, that's probably where he learned it before he got in. As a young person, well, he got in prison. And that's what the white supremacists do not leave black people very many options. And a lot of the options are something that they know will lead to trouble sooner or later. And so that's why they get black people interested in being gangsters at a very early age. By the time you're in the seventh grade, you're thinking about looking forward to being a gangster. The white supremacist programs all that, because they know where it's going to lead. Now, the system of white supremacists is as big as gangster operation that the world has ever seen. Nothing is bigger than the system of white supremacy when it comes to gangsterism, because that's what it all is. It's based on power, naked power, backed up by stacks of bodies. The white supremacists, that's why they brag about being great warriors and taking stuff from people and conquering people and dominating them in every area of activity. That's what racism is. It's a powerful gangster operation, the most powerful that the world has ever seen. So they teach black people to be imitators of that, knowing full well that they know all about it. Black people are just learning. But black people don't only go so far with that.
Yes. Okay. All right, Blacktop. Appreciate it. Appreciate your call. Y'all have to tell you not to be a stranger. You're in. Okay. Mr. Fuller, on that quote from Future, or VGQ from Future, evidently Rita 888 has, she wrote this. She said, white folks get nervous around a black person who is not showing off or showboating. That's true. And then she said that ChatGPT won't discuss racism. Its understanding of racism is very basic and refuses to point to racism / white supremacy. I didn't know that, but I know that now to check that out. Okay. Oh, that's AI? Okay, that's AI. Got you, Rita, AAA. Now, I cannot properly pronounce this person's name here, but I will just give it a try. I'll just say S7. But when I say this, here, the person will know what I wrote. And Mr. Fuller, this is a question that I'm asking you, and maybe you'll answer, I don't know. But this is a pretty good question. The question is, what would happen if we distributed the compensatory code at the United Nations? What do you think would happen if that would happen? Besides, I know you don't really know the answer, but what would happen, in your opinion, Mr. Fuller?
I think it would have an effect and give a whole bunch of people a different perspective from anything they've read before. Like the use of words, of course. That's what they do at the United Nations. They use words. And they stop using words like hegemony and colonialism and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
They start changing the language, but with the emphasis, because you got a lot of white people at the United Nations. See, and eventually, they're going to be here on the planet. They're not going anywhere, okay,
mm-hmm.
presumably. So therefore, in the production of justice, see, just keep sticking that in front of everybody's face. If I was sitting there at the United Nations today, that's what I would be doing every day. I say, you talk about yourself being Africans, you Asians and Americans and all this. Think of yourself as individuals and as companies or whatever you want to, organizations, religions, whatever, guaranteeing one word, justice, and then define it over and over again. I mean, almost say it like every day when you have your convening. You say, our goal right here is to guarantee that no person is mistreated nowhere on the planet, and to guarantee that the person that needs help the most gets the most constructive help. That's the definition of justice. That's what we are all here for. We're not here to brag on our flags or nothing like that. None of that. Talk about how big our armies are or what, this and that and the other and all the personality clashes. And none of that. We are here to produce a product worldwide called justice. Just one product. That's what we're all here for. We're not here for nothing else. The name of that product is justice. And the definition of the word justice for this unit and any other unit we're connected with or any other people we talk to who are not here, at the G7 or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to talk about justice. Now, anybody got a problem with that? And then you define it, guaranteeing that no person is mistreated. That's a tall order. Something that's never happened before. Somebody's being mistreated somewhere. You don't have to go far. Maybe a couple of blocks. Maybe not. Right here in this room, somebody is being mistreated. Somebody is not getting the help that they need. That's all it's about. We're not about nothing else other than that. Now, how pretty somebody's flag is, or this and that and other, and what squabble somebody knows. Hey, justice, that's what it's about. And you don't have to wait until you go to the G7 or something like that. That's what every black person on the planet, every person, white too. We include white people. Well, Ms. Adams, and she's white. Ms. Adams, we're at this meeting. We had a committee meeting, here on the job or whatever, a union meeting. It's all about justice, Ms. Adams. Unless I've been misinformed. That's a quote out of the movie Casablanca. Unless I've been misinformed, everything that we do today, everything we do in this entire building, this building is four blocks long, is about justice. And if I've been misinformed about that, I want to know it right now. Because I am about justice. That's what I'm doing here. When it comes to people. Every black person should say that. Have that on your mind. Not how black you are, nothing like that. Or white folks did this and did that, whatnot. No. We are here once and for all and forever. That's why I'm here. I don't know why everybody else is here. But I'm about, as best I possibly can, seeing to it that nobody is mistreated on this job or anywhere else. And guaranteeing that nobody's mistreated and guaranteeing that everybody who needs help the most and get in line by sequence for that so that we make sure that the person that needs help the most gets the most help faster than somebody who don't need help the most.
Yes, sir.
All right, because that's a part of justice.
That's
so two simple things. Those are the elements of justice according to the code. You won't find that in the dictionary. You'll find that in the word guide that you can get the guy going to produce justice.
Yes.
But these are the things that I want everybody to keep in mind even as we talk here on this program. The whole goal is not put down black white people or put down black people, which I sometimes sound like I'm doing, but actually the truth lifts you up even when it sounds like you're being put down. You go with the truth. You can't lose.
Okay.
When black people latch on to that.
Yes, sir.
But the key word is justice. That's
justice.
It.
Okay.
If you're choosing one word in everything that we're saying.
Okay. Last week, a caller or somebody wrote in, I believe it was, about a territory in Oklahoma. I may mispronounce the name, but I think it's the Osage people or something in Indiana. I mean, Oklahoma, where they found oil on the land. Since you're from Oklahoma, were you familiar with those people? And they how they got killed and murdered?
Well, you had a lot of tribes, I mean,
Oklahoma, but this tribe was specific because they discovered that where they told them to go in a land that, on the surface, there was nothing there, but they found out after they were there that there was oil underneath there, that nation of people, Indian people.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, anyway, there was a
and
documentary.
They killed them.
I'm sorry?
And they killed them.
Yeah. Well, last night, to verify what that caller had said, there was a documentary on, I think it was the History Channel, that talked about that, about those people out there in Oklahoma and what they did to them and how prosperous they were before, you know, all that happened. It was hard to watch how they were just in there shooting them and killing them, you know, because of the natural resource that was that they discovered on that land. I was going to ask you, did you see that documentary? But evidently you
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is, I mean, it's just common knowledge. They wiped out all of the people who are called now indigenous people. They killed them. They killed them like they killed the buffalo. Only good Indian is a dead Indian.
Whoa!
I mean that's what they said. That was, you know, a sign in every saloon, wouldn't it? I mean, you kill an Indian. Indians are made to be killed. I mean, it's called progress. It's called building civilization. It's called conquering the West. Civilizing the West. The five civilized tribes, I mean, send them to Oklahoma. Let them starve to death. You know, Cherokees, Choctaws, Chickasaws, Seminoles, Creeks.
Yes.
My great-grandmother on my mother's side was a Creek. Grandfather on my mother's side what was the creek? Raleigh Scott in Oklahoma. My father came from Arkansas following the railroad tracks. That's how he wandered and met up with my mother, who was a school teacher in Oklahoma, near what is now Stillwater, Oklahoma. I think they made a movie about Stillwater. I heard about that recently. But it was about white folks and some type of thing in modern days. Didn't go way back. But, yeah, they gave back some of the land, I mean, a lot of it, in the form of Oklahoma, because they figured it was worthless. But then some white men went out there and started poking around and said, "This, the land ain't worth nothing. That's why the Indians can starve here. I mean, you know, dust bowls, tornadoes, just like it is today. Oklahoma, what is that? I mean, who wants to be there?" But they found out there's some oil here. Most of it is in Texas, right across the border. Of course, Texas is bigger, for one thing. But there's some oil, quite a bit of it.
Still is.
So, yeah. And so we'll just cap most of it and sit on it. Well, we'll wipe out the Indians. I mean, you know, we'll kill them on sight, you know. Kill the Indians for fun. Who cares? Who's here to even see it? So it's a whole lot of untold stories about going all the way through Canada. They're just recently unveiling how and making some documentaries about all the Indians. See, people don't stop and think about it. All the Indians that are in Canada. I mean, Canada was full of Indians.
Yes.
But they wiped them out, too.
Mm.
And just got them down now. They just use them, let them come into the, you know, be a part of the circus or some type of festivities. Yeah, let them dance around the fire. That's what we call them doing. We call them napping. And they didn't know how to deal with us. They knew how to have ceremonies. So we let them have their little ceremonies, and we still do. And then they go back and get drunk. You know, we'll feed them plenty of whiskey. That's how we took most. Fire water. I mean, hey, this is, hey, Chiefs, you're talking about clear blue waters and whatnot. We got something a whole lot better. We got something called fire water. It'll really fire you up. And then it'll make you dead. It'll eat up your liver. It'll eat up your brain.
Yes.
So you'll sign anything after you drink some of the sign water. Well, you'll sign any kind of treaty I make after you drink some of this fire water. It's white man's water, all right?
That's what he did.
A whole lot better than God's water.
All righty, yeah. Okay, well, we have just about come to the end of the program. Very informative. I'm got my pen out now writing stuff down, but it's very good. So thank you, callers, first of all. Thank you, Mr. Fuller, and thank all the technicians and the people who are responsible for putting that together. Everybody that don't know, in case you don't know, don't forget to support the program by going to producejustice.com and getting and purchasing the materials that are there. If you already have one, maybe you want to purchase someone for somebody else. Get it in their hands. Mr. Fuller, the last word is going to go to you.
Stop bragging or criticizing America, Africa, or Asia, or Asians. They don't exist. They're just people who do things. But don't put those three labels on it anymore. Because you can't prove that they exist.
Okay, very good.
You go in any court and you can have it out. Keep that in mind. All the scholars, let's stop doing it. Say that these are ideas, a great idea.
ProduceJustice.com, and we'll try to do better next week. Thank you, Mr. Fuller. Thank you, callers. Thank you, everybody on the team. Have a good week.
I thank everybody, too.